Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' or 'What are we to drink?' or 'What are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm wondering if it's possible that there could be anyone in this church who has never suffered at all from any kind of worry or anxiety. I wish I could say that I never have, but that wouldn't be even close to the truth. Maybe it was when you were a small kid, you climbed up to the top of the high diving board, or you're looking down at the ground from the top of a skyscraper, and you then realize that you were afraid of heights. Or you got startled by a noise when you were home alone at night. Or you awoke from a terrible nightmare, still full of fear. And all of us from time to time have these momentary fears, but it's possible that we may experience even more persistent fears or anxiety. Will I or my spouse lose a job? Will our savings hold out? Will I be able to beat cancer? Will my kids or my grandkids turn out okay? Will my child be deployed in Afghanistan? Will my family come back to the church? Stress, anxiety, and worry seem to be more or less built into our existence these days. And the results can be very negative on us, particularly spiritually. And it even seems to be in our nature, perhaps, to be regularly troubled or anxious about many things. Now, in our gospel, Jesus confronts us with perhaps our most common fears. We're anxious in particular about how we're going to meet our material needs, food, drink, clothing, everything that's involved in our security for tomorrow. So we do want security and reasonable comfort. Yet in seeking security and comfort, Jesus warns us that we might unknowingly be handing ourselves over to servitude to what he refers to as mammon, which is comes from an Aramaic word that refers to money and possessions. Jesus is not condemning wealth. He's definitely not saying that we shouldn't be working to earn our daily bread. He's not saying that we shouldn't make provisions for the future. It's rather a question of our priorities and our goals. What are we living for? Where is God in our lives? Do we really believe that God cares for us, for me, and that He alone can provide for all of my needs? In the gospel, Jesus tells us not to worry about our lives. And He compares us to the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. And He asks if we aren't more important to our Heavenly Father than they are. Now, there are many things about us which don't seem to have changed very much since the time Jesus walked the earth. Much of the New Testament, if you think about it, is implicitly a story about the easing of fears and the beginnings of hope. Look at any one of the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke. Mary was afraid when she was visited by the angel Gabriel, who announced she would bear a son. Jesus himself, in his human nature, he shuddered at the thought of what was about to happen to him as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The apostles, we know, were full of fears and anxieties when they gathered in the upper room after the death of the Lord. They were afraid, but none of them was paralyzed with fear. And they were strengthened by the Holy Spirit to overcome their fears, just as the Holy Spirit enabled our Blessed Mother to cry out to the angel Gabriel in confidence and love, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done unto me according to your word." And it was the Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to cry out, "Father, not my will, but your will be done," just before he was led to his torture and his death. The Holy Spirit enabled the fearful apostles to boldly proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, transforming their weaknesses and their fears into a courageous sense of mission for our Savior. You and I, of course, would all like to be totally free of any kind of fear and anxiety. And so we can ask ourselves, realistically, aren't Jesus' words just really too good to be true? How can we shift our trust from the visible, tangible things of this passing world to a full trust in Jesus Christ? How can we experience the freedom, you might say, of putting ourselves entirely in the hands of God? And Jesus tells us how. In his words, "Set your hearts on his kingdom first and on his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So again, it comes back to our hearts, turning our hearts completely over to Jesus Christ, setting our hearts on the right things, wanting the right things, seeking those things wholeheartedly. Seeking Jesus Christ, committing ourselves to Jesus Christ, loving and following him, seeking his kingdom, seeking to build up his kingdom. All this is for us freedom. And the only question, the only variable in all of this has to do with you and me. And when our hearts are set, first of all, on his kingdom, when our hearts are totally in sync with his heart, everything else is going to fall into place. Jesus in the Gospels talked a lot about fear. Fear not, little flock. Do not fear. Fear is useless, and so on. And Jesus has given us a weapon, and the weapon for us is his own love. His own love to counter fear. St. John, in his first letter, says, "Perfect love casts out all fear." And of course, we know that only God's love is perfect love. So God will uproot the fear within us. Our fears ultimately are based on lies of Satan, whereas God's love is based on the truth. So whenever we are with Jesus, whenever we are fully adhering to him, we are on a firm foundation because Jesus is our rock. Jesus is the truth. And nothing can shake a house that is built on rock. But we do have to be careful if we are building our house on a lie, if we're building our house on fears, because then we are on what you might say is shifting sand. And fear is actually one of the foundation stones of sin. If you look at the seven capital sins, at the root of every one of those terrible sins is, in fact, a fear. And so fear has the capability, you might say, of disorienting us. And Satan's task is always easier with us when we are in any way fearful. But there's one other thing that I think has to be brought into this picture, and that is friendship. Friendship is always built on trust. The friendship with God enjoyed by Adam and Eve was lost because of their lack of trust. The Catechism teaches us, man tempted by the devil, let his trust in his Creator die in his heart. And Jesus Christ was sent by his Father to come back and to win that trust. His words, his miracles, his example, and above all, his passion and his death, these are basically huge billboards that God puts up right in front of us saying, please trust me. I only want to give you the deep meaning you long for. What was the sign of Adam and Eve's lack of trust? It was their disobedience. They thought they knew more than God. They thought they could figure out the best way to live. And you and I, we grow in our trust by our simple obedience to God every day. Being careful every day to, yes, follow our consciences together with the teachings of his church. What is the fundamental message that we're given in the gospel today? Jesus, our friend, is worthy of our trust. And all that remains is for you and I to take this to heart. And we pray together. Lord Jesus, it is often a mystery to me why I don't trust you more completely. Do I think that you would ever abuse my trust? You are all good, all powerful, all knowing, all loving. You give me so many personal experiences of your goodness. Thank you for them. Please remind me of them now. Never let me forget them. Jesus, I trust in you.